are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So the debate over the interpretation of the mark of the beast is indeed a long-standing and complex theological discussion, primarily rooted in the book of Revelations in the Christian Bible. Different religious traditions and denominations, as well as individual believers, may hold varying perspectives on whether the mark of the beast should be understood symbolically or literally, right? So we are unpacking here with my elder, Elder Obed Ngandu, who's joining us all the way from Zambia. My elder Murubuanch.
Able to get me?
Yes, now we can hear you. Nice, my elder. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Sanile. How are you doing?
We are good, and we are ready to learn once again. Yesterday, we had a very beautiful, starting and foundation of the whole issue of the mark of the beast. And today, we are going to be furthering it more. My elder, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray before we start?
Shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, yet again, we bow our heads before you as we acknowledge that wisdom and knowledge comes from you. And for that reason, we ask that you who inscribed or who inspired the writers of the Bible, specifically Revelation, to write, you have the capacity to help us understand the detail that is in the book. But even as we shall unpack the mark of the beast, may you help us to get to the level where we'll see the beautiful person of Christ, even in the book of Revelation. This we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. My elder, when we're looking at the mark of the beast, you know, so how do those proponents of the symbolic interpretation understand the concept of the mark of the beast?
Okay. Like I stated yesterday, Vanille, The underlying premise of the concept of the mark of the beast is worship. Who do you worship? Probably that's the question. But also I want to state, as we begin the discussion this morning, that God created humans as free moral agents, ones to make choices even over worship. God does not force anyone. But if you look at Revelation 13, verse 16, the very first word that comes out of there is, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Now, there's a quotation from a book, Prophets and Kings, page 510, paragraph 4. This is what it says. It was right for the king to make public confession. This is in reference to Nebuchadnezzar, to seek to exalt the God of heaven above all other gods. But in endeavoring to force his subjects to make a similar confession of faith and to show similar reverence, Nebuchadnezzar was exceeding his right as a temporal sovereign. He had no more right, either civil or moral, to threaten men with death for not worshiping God. Then he had to make the decree consigning to the flames all who refuse to worship the golden image. God never compels the obedience of men. He leaves it all free to choose whom they will serve. So principally, as we go through our subject this morning, we need to understand that at the core of it, God allows us to make a choice. And those choices that we make, he will never force us to worship. But on the other side, it has to do with both, I submit.
So looking at the mark of the beast, my elder, you know, what symbols, you know, are often associated with the mark of the beast in symbolic interpretations?
Okay, so it is worth stating that which law, for example, would one be breaking if you decided to interpret the mark of the beast as a chip? Or if you decided to interpret it as a mark on the forehead or on the hand, there's no law that you'll be breaking. literally no law. So then the question one would ask is then, why would God make so much fuss about it? Mm. Why would God send an angel to proclaim with urgency the consequences of receiving the mark of the beast and to save the or to worship the beast? If you look at it critically, you will understand that in terms of the symbolism, we are looking at a God who introduces himself. Mm. If you look at perhaps the most important passage of Scripture, Exodus 20, verse 2, he introduces himself, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, what he is saying is that, look, I have done this, I have done this, I have done this. Mm. And because of that, I am your God.
Okay.
And because I am your God, you don't have to worship any other gods before me. But then further, Zanile, in the fourth commandment, which is the seal of God, he introduces himself again.
Mm-hmm.
Why should you worship me? He says, because I created you. You see, I created everything. And because of that, he is telling us that he is the creator.
Yeah.
Number one, he is God, the Lord, his name. And then he says, what did he create? On whose jurisdiction? He is in heaven and he's on earth.
Okay.
So these are his premises. Now, when you look at the mark of the beast, it is a counterfeit seal of a counterfeit God. And we need to be very careful because, you know, someone will just talk about, no, it's just, what's in a day?
Mm.
It's not just a day. It's the seal of God or the seal of a counterfeit God.
So we have people, Mpundiswami, you, my elder, you guys, sorry, elder, sorry. So I don't know why. Maybe it's coming this elder, this pastorship. Sorry. Okay. So my elder, you know, we do have people who advocate for the literal interpretation of the mark of the beast, right? So why do they envision the mark of the beast as a physical mark where, for example, it is a tattoo on my forehead or on the right hand as stated? Why do they envision it to be literal?
Okay, I'm not so sure exactly why people would push an agenda like that. But if you ask me, my thinking is that, you see, the devil is smart. And so for a non-believer, when you push in an agenda, when your narrative is a physical mark, and then that physical mark really doesn't come. For example, if we said COVID-19, the vaccination of COVID-19,
yes,
was the mark of the beast, and then we come to a realization that actually it's not the mark of the beast. Now, who is laughing at God's word? Who brings it? Who brings God's his word into disrepute? It's those of us who are claiming it to be a physical. Because we know Christianity is a thinking man's religion. And because Christianity is a thinking man's religion, we should get down to a point where when we push a narrative, it should be something that we can back it up with the Bible. Otherwise, everything else will bring God's name into disrepute and his word into disrepute because we are pushing an agenda which is not in the Bible.
Indeed, and we must stick to what the Bible says. So, Mpundisi, elder, we have the literal and those that are like, it's a symbol, right? So are there areas of common ground between the symbolic and the literal interpretations of the mark of the beast? Is there something where the two groups say, yeah, you want to hear? We agree, but or is it all of them just so separate and they don't have one place where they agree?
I may not be competent to answer that question, but I can say this. What is the relationship with the literal mark with worship?
Okay.
And that would be my question. You see, when you say it's a physical mark, what is that? What is the relationship with a physical mark and worship? Because when you talk about the mark of the beast, from those of us who say it's a symbol, what we are saying is that it's a symbol because it relates to worship. you know. But if it's a physical mark, what is the relationship? For me, I don't see a point where you can get to a level where people are threatened to be killed over a physical mark.
Mm.
But when you look at the actual instance of when it comes to issues of worship, people have killed in the past on the issue of worship. We know what happened in the Dark Ages, and we know what is going to happen in the future. Why do people get to the levels where they would want to say it's a literal? I don't understand. But what I can tell you is that when you read through all the passages that we refer to in the book of Revelation, the six of them, all of them, when they talk about the mark of the beast, they relate to worship, and they relate to consequences of either worshiping it or not worshiping it.
Love that. So as we draw closer to the end, are there specific actions or precautions that believers take based on the interpretation of the mark of the beast? Maybe others would say, for example, they're going to now start worshipping on a Sabbath or on a Saturday because they understand the mark of the beast to be a Sunday worship or future coming Sunday worship, or others, they believe it to be something else. Do we know of situations where they're like, I've altered my life because of how I interpret the mark of the beast?
Okay, so my response to that question would be, you see, Christianity is a relation with God. There's a big difference between Christianity and morality.
Okay.
On the moral part, we do things because we want to earn a credit. On the Christian side, we do things because we have been saved. Okay. You see, what we believe in, as Seventh-day Adventists, we believe that we are saved before we obey. Okay. And obedience is a result of being saved. We don't go to church on the Sabbath so that God can save us. We go to church on the Sabbath because we have been saved. Okay. Those are fruits of salvation. So when we have a relationship, when you and I have a relationship with God, yesterday you were referring to your son. The relationship between you and your son, your son does not obey you to prove that he is your son or to earn sonship. He obeys you because he is your son. You see, there's a relationship. You actually can tell that, you see, if the president of South Africa came to your son and told him to do something, he may not trust them as he would trust you. Why? Because there's a relationship.
Yes.
Our relationship with God has to do with trust. Our relationship with God has to do with dependency. Our relationship with God has to do with loyalty. Our relationship with God puts him on the pedestal that he deserves to be. He is God and there's no other. And because of that, because we have had this kind of relationship, we are relating with God, we hold him supreme, we hold him as a supreme authority. We will not tell him how we would want him, how we would want to worship him. We will just listen to him in terms of how he would want us to worship him because we have a relationship. We are not going to fear that, no, if I don't keep the Sabbath day holy, I am going to burn in sulfur. Or if I keep the Sabbath day holy, the mark or the beast will force me to keep it or he'll make me lose work. It is on the issue of relationship.
Okay.
By relating with God, we don't care the consequences because we know we are doing what is right because we have a relationship with him.
Indeed, yeah, we have a relationship with him, so we ought to do those things. My elder, thank you so much for coming through for today's lesson. I believe that all of us, we actually have to take time and study the word of God and also pray and ask, you know, for him to make things that are unknown known to us, you know, so that we may be able to do it, to interpret or understand what he is saying in his word. This also including issues of the mark of the beast. So my elder, I'm going to ask that as we close, can you please do pray for us so that we may have that encouragement and that zeal to go and pray?
Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, yet again we come before you this morning acknowledging that there's no other God other than you. We know that the devil competes to be God, and he comes in different forms. One of the ways he's going to come to want to be worshipped is through the mark of the beast.
Mm.
And our prayer is that help us to understand that when we have a relationship with you, it doesn't matter the consequences.
Mm.
We will obey you to the core. If it means losing our lives, we will lose our lives because we have a relationship with you. We are not going to go out there to want to prove that we are Christians. We are going out there to produce the fruits because we are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so bless us and bless the programs as we go further, as Adventist World Radio continues broadcasting from broadcast to baptism. Our prayer is that there's someone out there who may not really understand what the mark of the beast is. May this period be one that will unveil their faces and that they'll actually get to appreciate who you really are. But your desire for every one of us is that we should be saved and that we will not harbor any fear, but we will find confidence in your grace and in the Holy Spirit to lead us even in the way everlasting. This we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. My elder, thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us. We'll reach out again tomorrow with another exciting topic as well. And I always tell people, please bring your notebooks, Pastor. I hope you have a notebook as well, taking your own notes down because we are taking notes. So thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you, Zanile. Thank you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.